With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, you can probably hear some extra background noise that is coming from Andrew Gibney, who's a French football writer you can find at Football Whispers. You can also find him on Twitter at Gibney_A. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time, albeit from an airport line, but we got to sneak it in while we can.
Welcome to Manchester Airport, yeah.
Live, yeah, reporting to you live from the Manchester Airport. Andrew, absolute pleasure having you on. Obviously, yesterday, France win the World Cup. I know you've been covering them for a while now. What was your perception of France winning and the impact it had?
It was amazing. Probably one of the best World Cup finals that I can remember. I think my first one was 1990. I was too young for 86. But we had goals, we had VAR, we had own goal. I think the first ever own goal in a World Cup final. Then we had, I think if it ended 2-1, the way it finished the first half, I think everyone would have been really disappointed, because you don't want a final to be done by a VAR, which no one can still agree on. For me, it wasn't a handball. But then the second half, the goal from Pogba, the goal from Mbappe, it just put that icing on the cake to what was a really smart and a really exciting in parts France performance. And I think it'd be hard to say that they didn't deserve it through that performance, through the way they went through everything. And yet it's an amazing moment for these players. And the scary thing is they're still so young, and hopefully there's still so much to come.
Yeah, kind of like Manchester City, who we obviously talk about a lot on the show. It's concerning how good they are and how young they are and what that portends for the future. Yeah. Obviously, as you mentioned, the own goal is basically what started the affair at the beginning of the match here. What were your thoughts on that goal when it went in?
Yeah, well, another great set piece from Antoine Griezmann. And he's had a really weird World Cup, because if you look from open play, I think he's been quite bad. Like he's not picked the right passes. He's sort of ran where he shouldn't have run and not passed when he should have. But then he's finished the World Cup with 4 goals and 3 assists. You're like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good for a World Cup. You're like, the penalties, cool, calm. Like, and then those set pieces he keeps delivering. And then the Fernando Muslera goal against Uruguay, like he got lucky. Like, but his quality from set pieces, I think, is underrated, definitely. And it's been a massive part of this World Cup. And yeah, it's another one, you put it into the air where you want to put it in and everyone jumps, and poor Mandzukic was the unfortunate guy who got his head to it.
Yeah, then obviously it looked like France were going to just run away with it, but then Croatia get back into it via a Perisic goal, much like what happened in the England match. Perisic obviously had a very good tournament. Did you feel like that goal was coming, or was it a bit of a shock to the system?
No, I think it was well deserved. I mean, a wonderful strike as well. I think what made it even better was the little touch to his left, just to make that yard of space. Mm. You know, the way he sort of twisted his body around to get the contact and the power he got on it, it's an incredible goal, and it shows you how technically gifted a player Perisic is. And yeah, I think one each at that point was the least that Croatia deserved, because they sort of did boss the early parts of the game. But I don't think anyone in France was panicked, because they had their game plan. I think they stuck to it, and it paid off.
Yeah, then you mentioned earlier, obviously, VAR is used, awards a handball penalty for France to go ahead and take the 2-1 lead. Griezmann takes it very coolly, slots it in on the floor to the right of the goalkeeper, to Griezmann's left. There was a lot of controversy surrounding that decision. What we always say on the show is don't give the referee a chance to make a decision, but it seemed very quick coming off and then hitting Perisic's hand. What did you make of that decision?
Yeah, I think when you jump, your arms are naturally going to move. I think if your arms are anywhere sort of between your waist and your shoulders, it's a natural place for them to be. Like, and there's no way that he's batted his hands down to hit the ball. You can see with the slow motion, his eyes don't even know where the ball is. And to me, there was a little touch on the ball before it gets to him as well. So that apparently in the rules, that is, should mean that any touch before, Perisic is kind of he can't control where the ball's going. So, I mean, the fact that the referee said no, and then the time it took him to look at VAR, you can tell he still wasn't convinced. But it must be hard for the referee, because if you know there's five guys in a booth and they've watched it and they're saying, mate, you want to come look at this? The pressure's on you to be like, well, have I missed something? Maybe I must be wrong. So you're putting that extra pressure on the guy, and it's going to take a lot of strong refs to be like, no, I think that's not, and sort of say no when there's five guys upstairs telling you that it is. And that's a really difficult situation to put someone in. For me, it wasn't a penalty. It's not a clear and obvious deliberate hand to ball. Yeah. There's enough debate. The debate's still ongoing, which for me says, and I think this is where the NFL gets it right, it's like conclusive proof to overturn the call on the field. And I'm sure the next week or 2 weeks we will still not have, so you can't give the penalty then, for me. And that's where I think NFL get the reviews right, and I think VAR still has a lot to learn.
I do think VAR was largely handled well throughout this tournament, far better than its trial in England. But as you say, there are still some kinks that will surely be worked out. The more it's in use, the more the people are using it.
It's not the technology; it's the problem. It's the
right. It's the
making
people.
The decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
which is life, isn't it?
It sure is. And obviously, the more experience they have using it, the better the system will become. The more refined it'll be. So things go to halftime 2-1. Were you feeling France were confident then that they would be able to hold on for the win?
Yeah, I think another halftime team talk from Deschamps, calm everyone down, get everyone's sort of heads together, to remind everyone of the plan and the way they play. They know they have the weapons, and look, this is no disrespect to Croatia. I don't care how much adrenaline you have. You've played an extra 90 minutes than everyone else. Your legs must be a little bit tired, especially compared to the French legs. Like, there was going to be some space open up the second half. There had to be. I could see no way that Croatia could play with that same vigour, that same energy for another 45 minutes, and it sort of paid true in the end, because that's when the gaps appeared for the next goals.
Yeah, and interestingly, heading into the half, Croatia actually had more shots and more chances created and more possession, but obviously France seemed to be the more dangerous when they really got forward and attack, which is unsurprising considering the talent in their front line. Then things kind of slow for a while out of the half. Croatia starts to grow back into it. I had mentioned this in the post-match after England, that Croatia's midfield makes sure that they're always at least pretty good. They don't have those like big dips in the middle of matches. And so they started continuing that consistency, and they started growing into the game. But then Pogba goes on and scores in the 59th minute. The goalkeeper, it seemed like he should have done better, but he may have been unsighted on second glance. But fantastic for Pogba to score there. Puts the score at 3-1. Seems like it's put to bed.
Yeah, I mean, that goal was all Pogba. The pass, the vision to see Mbappe to pull it off, that is all Pogba. That's what we want to see from him. You know, seeing so much from that World Cup. If you're a Man United fan, you're thinking, please, please let us see that Paul Pogba at Old Trafford. That the ball was great. And then he's got the sort of sense to follow up, tried with his right foot, and then it came to his left. I think that's where Daniel Subasic was unsighted, because players are trying to block the first shot, there's bodies in the way, and Pogba's got the ability to go, nah, I'm going to curl it on my left. Like, I'm just that good, and curls it into the corner. And yeah, at that point, you're thinking, that's it, game's over now. Two goals. If Croatia attack even more, you're getting even more space on the break. And it felt a lot more. That's when you get the sigh of relief. There's a, oh, I think this is going to be okay now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, then after Pogba's goal, it was somewhat quickly followed up by the strike by Kylian Mbappe, which was a fantastic effort. He also had a fantastic tournament on the whole, picking up the Young Player Award. What did you think of that goal in particular and Mbappe's performances on the whole?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he's had a wonderful tournament. I think he came alive at the Argentina game, but everyone saw just how fast he is, that blistering pace that anyone who watched Liga and the Champions League knew of, but to see on this, the biggest stage there is, was brilliant. And I thought he was really good on Sunday. He had his moments. He wasn't sort of at the forefront of France's attacks, but he was always an outlet. He's always the danger. I think when you've got that threat of his pace, you're always going to worry a little bit that you can't lose space in behind. And the goal, I think, he deserved. And he took it really well, because if you watch Subasic's movement, Subasic thought he was going to the goalkeeper's left. And then because he went the other way, he was a left wrong-footed. And that's what created the goal. And he's so smart. He thinks so quick. And he's scarily only 19 years old. I mean, Kev, when I was 19, I didn't even think half as fast as this kid does. Like, doing anything, never mind playing in a World Cup final. Like, it's phenomenal. He's shown it all, like, the game against Belgium as an outlet, and like making the right pass and not losing possession in the dangerous areas. I thought he was superb and just showed so much maturity that at least now we're not going to get 12 years of, well, he's not won the World Cup, so he can't be considered the greatest of all time. Like, this kid's got the platform to be, I mean, it's a bit hyping up maybe too much, but he could go on to be better than Messi and Ronaldo. He's got the years to achieve what they've achieved, and you can't see it apart from like injuries and things like that that get in his way. Talent wise, he's got what it takes, and he's ready to go, and he's there now. It's really scary.
Yeah, he is very, very good indeed. As for the match itself, after Kylian Mbappe scored, the Croatian heads clearly had dropped then. Looked like there was no chance for them to get anything else in this match, except then Hugo Lloris decided to dribble directly into Mario Mandzukic's foot, which allowed Croatia to get a second. Was there any sense when that happened that that would be the beginning of them crawling back into the match, or did it still feel like it was finished for you?
It felt like it was finished, but it was. I'm pretty sure I said the word "it's over" as Lloris hit the ball into Mandzukic's foot. So it's over. Oh, Hugo, what have you done? And there was, I mean, if Croatia, I think, had had maybe a bit more energy left, or they could have really gone out of France, and the panic may have set in. But yeah, I think that was more luck than sort of Croatia creating anything. And I think France knew that, still with the two goals, that were fairly comfortable. And even if Croatia did attack them, they still had that the pace on the break. Like you saw, I think it was in the 94th minute, Griezmann tried to knock the ball past the defence, and he still had the legs to like sprint. And you're like, where have you got this energy from? And that showed you just how much they were up for this and how much they had left in the tank. So I don't think anyone was that worried. There's always a sense of, oh God, if they get another one now, this could really be a tense finish. But yeah, I think France had it wrapped up when they're
Yeah, and then that is where the match would end, 4-2 to France, as they are crowned World Cup champions. Croatia on the other side, very, very sour after the affair, mentioning the referee's decisions, and Luka Modric particularly said, you can't keep comebacking, blaming some of the decisions throughout the match as well. How did you feel it was handled on the whole from the refereeing perspective?
I mean, VAR is going to cloud everything, isn't it? That's going to be what the talking point from the referee. But I don't remember any sort of really bad call outside of that. And as if, I think he got pressured into the VAR, where he made the call and said there was no handball. They made him look at it and sort of forced his hand. And yeah, I can't really. You're always going to be a bit sore if you lose a World Cup final. I think that's. And I think to go 2-1 down the way they did. Yeah, I mean, I'd be annoyed as well, but yeah, I didn't really see much the Argentine ref got wrong outside of that.
Yeah, well, again,
no, there was a decision for the Griezmann dive for the first free kick, and yeah, a slow motion replay.
Griezmann's going down before the contact. But these things are so... calling things in real time is so difficult. People see replays and go, oh, look at that, it's obvious he's going down. Like, if you've got a split second, the job is much harder than people give referees credit for.
Yeah. And as we say, obviously very disappointing for Croatia to have not won, but France do win it indeed, which is very interesting because in the group stages, I was not...
Yeah, I'll go straight into that.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was overly impressed with the group stage, but when you look at the way France played 2 years ago, and when they got to the final against Portugal, they had nothing left. They'd used all their energy up, they couldn't get ready for another game, even though it was a final, and Portugal took their chance and won the tournament, but... France played it very smart. I mean, I don't agree with the team that Deschamps played against Australia. I think that was where you play Giroud and not go for the free quick forward, especially when it's yourself. Like, it's up to Denmark to go at them and try and win that group, and then you may have seen France take it up a notch. But why waste your energy when you're already in the last 16? As we saw from this tournament, it really doesn't matter if you finish first or second. The route can open up, things can change. Like, You qualify, that's the first part of the World Cup. Qualify for the next round, and then you take it from there. And then the Argentina game, we saw the real France. We saw a team happy to concede possession, happy to play on the break. They know they've got the power, the pace. And you'll hear people like Griezmann and Mbappe, they love playing on the break. Giroud does the hold-up job perfectly when they're not on the break. And you go to the Uruguay game, like... That on paper is a really difficult matchup. France, it felt easy. Like, Uruguay had no big chances. Yeah, they're missing Cavani. But France, I think Deschamps got his tactics perfect for the way to win this tournament. Yeah, like, people on Twitter, I think, want them to play like Dembele, Fekir, Tovan, all at the same time as Griezmann and Mbappe. Like, let's go like 4-2-6, like 4-2-4, just like get everyone on, but they would lose. Like, it's great if you're neutral, yeah, you want to see attacking football, but if you're French, you don't give a beep how you do it. You want to get to that final, you want that second star in your jersey, and it doesn't really matter how you do it. Like, ask Greece in 2004, did they care what football they played? No, they're Europeans, and you can't take that away from them. Like, and I think France and Deschamps played to their strengths. They really did. They played to their strengths defensively. They made that the strength stronger with Kanté in front. And then he knows he has the pace and the power. If you're a France fan, I think it's hard to criticise Deschamps. I get if you're neutral, yeah, maybe it's not the greatest thing to watch, but Deschamps doesn't care that you're watching at home. He wants to win the World Cup, and he's done it.
Yeah, and sticking on Deschamps, obviously now one of a very small list of people to have won the World Cup, both as a player and as a manager. How do you think this will affect his legacy in France?
I think it's huge. Like, yeah, one of three players, Gallo and Beckenbauer, the other two, they're highly regarded in their countries. Like, I think he's been an absolute legend, and I think no one's going to take that away from him. Like, where does he go from here? Because although this team is very young, the player that sort of the attack built around is Giroud, and he's 31 now. Has he got it in his sort of his locker to guide this team to the Euros, or do you think, well, I've won the World Cup, I'm the third person to do this, let's call it a day, and then you give it to someone else to sort of take this young team to the next level? That's where I would head towards if I was him. But you can't help but think, well, I should have won the Euros 2 years ago. Let's have another go and try to win that. It's just whether he's got the game plan or the tactics to play like an attacking young three without Giroud, because he is like the linchpin of what Deschamps' team does.
Yeah, and that will certainly be interesting to see what Deschamps' future holds, as well as for the rest of the squad, as it does age, although, as you mentioned, Giroud, one of the few players that are getting up there in age, Lloris also as well, but there are goalkeepers behind him ready to take over, more than there are for Giroud up front. Overall, who was your player of the tournament for France, and if you fancy it, in general?
France, I'm torn between Pogba and Mbappe. I think Pogba showed what he can do, and like, he's never going to be a guy like Luka Modric who can control a game for 90 minutes. He is going to give you moments of greatness, and he did them. Like, the goal against Australia where France was struggling, he's the one that started the move. They got a bit lucky, but he got the goal. And then the runs against Argentina, the runs against Croatia, he's there when fans needed him. And then Mbappe, to do what he did at 19 years old at the World Cup, what the second youngest player to score, and Pele being the other one, that's not bad company to be in. I think we have to respect what he's done, whether he did enough to sort of be France's best player. And then I suppose if you mention Pogba, you have to mention Kante. Like, it's so not underrated, but it doesn't get this the praise that I think he deserves. Like, he makes that defence better. He made Pogba better. He made throwbacks better. I saw someone wrote about Deschamps found a way to play Pogba in a midfield two, except when it's in goal, Kante, it really is a midfield three. I think that midfield, the Pogba and Kante sort of partnership, one doesn't exist without the other sort of thing, has to be like the best part of that France team. But I mean, there's heroes all over there. You've got Pavard and Lucas Hernandez, the fullbacks, who don't play fullback regularly for their club. So and they excelled in those positions. The defence, Mtiti and Varane, like, absolutely colossus. That duo just grew in strength game by game. Still look a bit shaky sometimes, but like, superb. And yeah, Lloris made some great saves when he did it. Everyone stepped up at some point. Everyone played their part in a game, and no one went missing. Like, you could put each of those players in like in a World Cup 11, and you wouldn't be able to really argue and say, yeah, he deserves that or he deserves that. They all were some of the best players in their roles, and that's why they're champions.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of players there. Pavard in particular really caught the eye, especially as you said, traditionally plays center back, was playing out at right back for most of the tournament. Who was the biggest and best surprise out of the squad?
I think you have to say Benjamin Pavard. I know I've got a little bit of bias because I sort of know him from my time when I lived in Lille. I had a little bit to do with him signing from Stuttgart, but I don't want to blow my own horn there. And the fact that, like, when the squad got announced, I was like, oh, that's amazing. Right? Pavard might play a World Cup. That's great. Then Sidibe gets injured. Oh, Pavard might play at a World Cup. Then it's like, oh my God, he's starting. Oh my God, he scored one of the goals of the tournament. Oh my God, he's just won the World Cup. It just escalated, snowballed, and like, so happy for a kid that I started watching for Leo's under-19s, Leo's reserve team, like, had the odd conversation with him. I was like, I think he was like the first World Cup winner that's ever started a conversation with me. Which is quite nice. So yeah, I'm really, really proud of what Benjamin did. But yeah, I think the whole world sort of sat up and took notice of this centre back stroke fullback be having a massive, massive tournament.
Yeah, and surely people will be after his signature, whether or not he leaves or not, remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But full credit to him and to the whole France side for winning. As we start to wind down this segment, what's your biggest takeaway from this tournament for France?
For France, I think the future's so bright. I think they're the youngest team to win the World Cup since Brazil in 1970, which is huge, and that team's regarded as one of the best of all time. So it's just, I just hope that this group sticks together. There was a lot of change from 2014, but the nucleus is there for a really young, exciting team. And if Anthony Martial finds form again, and Lacazette as well, there's so much. They've got like a massive squad, and you look at under-21s, not exactly lacking in players as well. The future in France is so bright, but I mean, nothing's guaranteed at World Cups. You can get knocked out by whatever reasons. Like, it can happen, it can go against you. But yeah, I think the whole country's proud, and I think they'll maybe get a third star sooner than they got the second one. I think that would be, I think it'll be less than 20 years before they get a chance to win another one. I think they'll reach a final maybe the next three World Cups. I'd put money on that.
Well, you heard it here first, especially those of you interested in the betting side of the sport. Andrew, thank you so much for doing this, albeit from an airport. Tell the folks where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @Gibney_A. I run the social media at Football Whispers, which is FB_Whispers. So if you don't agree with something there, it's probably me that said it. and check out me on Instagram as well, at The Gib Show, and you'll see pictures from when I'm out in LA doing the International Champions Cup House of Soccer event, which should be awesome. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what's coming.
Yeah, and for those that haven't followed the ICC much, I obviously get to go a lot as they're largely in the States, although I know they have some satellite ones as well. But definitely keep an eye on all of Andrew's stuff as it comes out of there. It's definitely a fun pseudo-tournament to keep your eyes on. All right, Andrew, thanks again so much for joining us. Congrats on the France win, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Thanks, Kev.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.